Jake, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
This is inarguably one of the biggest shows we've ever done.
I think it is inarguably.
We are here. We're here with a hit maker, flat out. Let me just say some books. See if it says anything. Does anything for you? Old Man Logan.
Oh,
you ever heard of that?
Heard of that little book? Yeah. A little book.
Kick ass.
What?
Dark Tower.
Oh my God.
Autocracy. You heard of them?
I've heard of these books.
One man is responsible. John Hitmaker Barber, welcome to the podcast.
That's it. Yeah, I would like to take complete responsibility for all of those books.
How you doing?
Good. I wish I could do a Scottish accent. I could have pretended to be Mark Miller there. That would have been more exciting.
That would have been tops.
I think we're going to do Highlander instead.
That's it.
We can do Highlander instead.
We can edit that in post. It's no big deal.
Good.
You have a big book out right now. Transformers. They're a big deal. The Fall of Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal to me.
Yeah. To everybody in the office,
yeah,
let's be
exactly.
honest.
Yeah.
But this ties into a video game. What's this book about? What's the tie-in about?
Well, the video game is about Cybertron falling. Millions of years ago, this is the beginning of the beginning of the next phase of the war between Autobots and Decepticons. Cybertron's been ravaged, and things are falling apart. And in the video game, we get introduced to the Dinobots, and this comic kind of introduces you to. Because it sets that up, gives you the Dinobots before they were the Dinobots, what led them to the position you find them in the game.
I've seen the trailer. I remember the very end of the trailer where they show the Dinobot at the end. I almost wet myself.
Grimlock? Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
That's pretty awesome.
it was pretty much one of the greatest scenes that I've ever witnessed.
It was, you know, Metroplex was what made me wet myself.
Really?
Yeah, he's huge. If you saw Metroplex, you would wet yourself.
He was in the trailer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the trailer. He was like...
I think Grimlock was better.
Grimlock is always better.
Can we get the opinion of the hit maker, John Barber?
Metroplex or Grimlock? Go.
Well, I got to go with Grimlock.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Metroplex is pretty amazing.
Right.
But
so the comic book, the digital first, which I love, Autocracy, kind of set the stage for that. The storyline of that, you know, mirrors, and it follows Grimlock kind of going off on his own to rescue a fallen teammate.
Yeah. It's basically Grimlock. Swoop has gone off on a secret mission to find the Decepticons' energy store. And he's disappeared. He's been captured, and Grimlock leads the rest of his team to go in and track him down. And a lot of action, a lot of fun. And I mean, you can't beat. You know, when I pick Grimlock over Metroplex, it's no offense to Metroplex, but come on, Grimlock turns into a dinosaur. That's great.
I know.
People would point out to me. They'd ask me like, "Hey, it doesn't make any sense." You know, you have Transformers that turn into dinosaurs, and I think that's crazy talk. Like, if you were a Transformer, that's the only thing you'd want to turn into. Like, I mean, if you picked a tape player, like that's the guy who has a problem. Like,
right.
He's got a self-esteem issue.
That's Ravager, right?
Ravager.
What's that?
That's Ravager, right? That turns into that. No, he turns into the tape cassette, right?
Yeah, Rumble and Frenzy or Ravage. Yeah, yeah.
Ravage, yeah. Oh man, yes, what a terrible thing. What a terrible fate. He's so obsolete after a little while.
Yeah, he drew the short straw, I think.
Yeah. Gosh. Didn't he know?
Which, well, he turns into an MP3 now.
that's modern technology at its finest. So my question is, you know, you have a background of web comics, and the digital format is interesting. You know, it's generally about 8 to 10 pages weekly, almost, depending on the schedule. This is the first time, I guess, you've written the Transformers digital first. Does that background help for you in writing and like kind of scheduling the books out?
You know, that's a good question. My background was, I was writing and drawing webcomics back in the like late 90s, early 2000s. And then we didn't even say why you've been naming all these fantastic books. I edited a bunch of comics for a long time, like Old Man Logan and Kick-Ass and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I edited Autocracy here at IDW. And, you know, it's an interesting question, because when you see this sort of some of the stuff that's coming out, like on Comixology now, it harkens back to sort of some of the stuff that myself and a couple other people were doing in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, we were doing it with like Flash and stuff you wouldn't really use, you know, these days. But you're watching some of those panel transitions on like the Marvel Infinite comics and stuff, and it's kind of exciting to see that almost come back. Like I don't know that, like Mark Waid or Stuart Immonen or the guys that were doing the first ones of those Infinite Comics ever saw any of the stuff that like me or Daniel Merlin Goodbury or Brendan Cahill did. I think it's this, you know, situation where those, you, Mark and Stuart, are smart guys, and they figured out some of the same solutions that we'd come up with, you know, using Flash, but using, you know, new technology. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see that kind of come in. In terms of like writing this digital comic, I mean, you know, yes and no. This is very much about the story, not about the technology. And I think some of the stuff that I did back in my webcomics days tended to be more about the form than about the content, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's something that sort of, you know, as I've grown over the years, I'm not angry 20 something anymore. So it tends to be more about just telling the story and trying to find the best ways to tell the story. And I think getting to work with Dheeraj Verma on this comic, it's, you know, we're just trying to tell an action packed story that, you know, sets the stage for the game. If you play the game, you want to find out some more stuff about these characters. Here's another adventure that happened to them. If you haven't played the game, it's still hopefully a good Transformers comic all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good question. Like it is strange. I mean, this is the first webcomic I've written since, well, wow, I don't know, 2002. I mean,
nobody can even remember that long ago. That's like the Stone Age.
Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We used to have tin cans with wires, and we just yell ones and zeros between each other. And that's how we used the internet back then.
I think that's how AOL started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, would you prefer that format where it's 8 to 10 pages, or would you prefer the 22 page or even the graphic novel? I guess each one has its strengths and, you know, minuses almost.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be one of the biggest things that, I mean, people have been talking about what the digital revolution is going to do for 15 years, you know, and, you know, it isn't the early days of webcomics anymore, you know, despite what we sometimes say. But I think one of the big effects it's going to have is reasserting the dominance of the periodical in a different way. I mean, now every issue of Transformers or G.I. Joe or Spider-Man or whatever is always going to be available. So if I buy the new issue and I want to find out what happened before, it isn't a matter of, you know, finding out some trade paperbacks or finding old books from, you're flipping through back issues or something. It's just a matter of clicking on it. So I think there's something pretty exciting about, you know, a short burst every couple of weeks instead of a longer burst every month. But, you know, as much as I say this isn't the early days, we're still figuring out what works. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Like, I think it's fun to try to do these 8-page bursts and see how it works and see what the guys did in Autocracy versus how this is going to work.
Now, I have a really, really important question here. Did you get to play the game yet?
I've seen the game. I've seen the game being played, and I've seen a lot of demos of it. But I haven't got a hold of it yet.
Oh man! I want to play it so bad. I just want to know how good it is.
The videos look great. I remember. I don't know if it was PS2 or was it PS2 the first third person Transformers game that they did. Do you remember that back in the day?
I don't remember that far back. You're talking about like...
Were you even born?
I don't think I was born then. Jeez. I'm like five.
So the Transformers movie, you wrote kind of an adaptation tie-in to the third movie, right? Did you get early access to the movie for those?
I got access to parts of it. I mean, I guess one of the I don't know if it's a problem. One of the things when you're doing an adaptation of a movie, you're doing it at the same time they're making the movie. I mean, people can make movies right up to the last minute these days. It's not, you know, it's not the same as it was 20 years ago when there was, you know, film being made. It's just, you know, it's all digital files. So we were working on the movie adaptation before the movie, you know, fully existed. So we had, you know, pretty good access to everything, but wow, you know, it wasn't like they showed us the movie and then. It wasn't like they were holding on to the movie for a year before it came out.
And you like left theater high-fiving your buddies that you got early access.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Wow, the perks of adaptation writing.
Looking back on your illustrious editing career, what do you think you hold the highest, where you kind of like pat yourself on the back and be like, that's pretty cool that I was a part of that.
This is a trick question, by the way. He's looking for something in particular. I'm just going to warn you now.
What are you most proud of, you think?
the next thing. No, I do like the Woolworth and Transformers and G.I. Joe books right now. But I think for me it was kick ass. I mean, that was it was a great group of people. Everybody involved in it was a friend of mine, and everybody kind of got along, and everybody's integral to the whole situation. And I thought the book was great, and I just thought it was a lot of fun to watch the sort of success that had with a brand new character. It was great to be a part of that in whatever, small way it was. Yeah.
The correct answer is actually Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
That's actually what you're most proud of. So,
no, which was also Mark Millar.
It was. Yeah. No, I remember that was probably one of my all-time favorite Wolverine arcs ever. Still, I don't think it's been topped yet. So props to being a part of that. I will say that I stopped going to my local comic shop around the era because I walked in on someone explaining the reveal of why Wolverine was like miserable.
Oh.
And it was like I wanted to throw myself into traffic after they ruined it for me.
Yeah, well, that was a tough one because I mean, Mark had written the whole thing, before they started coming out. So I knew that for, I don't know, like a year before anybody else did. Wow. And that was like, that was hard. I mean, even internally at Marvel, people would be seeing me for the pages and they'd be like, oh, this is pretty good. I'm like, oh, wait till you see why he's like this though.
Oh, so great. So great. In your spare time, what are you reading?
Right now, I've actually dug out some old, best of Marvel, 1994, 95 and 96 paperbacks that I have I haven't read. So I've been flipping through those. The other thing I've actually just gotten really into, and this is on Comixology. I feel like I'm shilling now, but this is really true. Is the 5 years later Legion of Superheroes stuff that started coming up on Comixology from DC? Yeah. And I've been I never read that stuff, and I've had it sort of explained to me how good it was, and it's the Keith Giffen sort of 9-panel grid, jump ahead 5 years, and it's Dark Legion, I've been digging that. I've been liking that coming up. So I've been reading those as they've been reprinted,
it's weird. Redigitized. I think I'd miss that on our release schedule, but like books that are in that kind of area where they have the hardcore fans, I'll be like searching Twitter and that'll pop up like 10 tweets in a row about how more Legion got released, more Legion. And it's like retweet. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, Legion. People love Legion.
Yeah,
people love Legion except for Matt.
I don't know. There's a lot of DC stuff that's hard for me to get into. I didn't grow up a DC guy, so I need like the most easy access issue like imaginable for me to like hop into something like Legion or JSA. JSA is another one I can't get into myself.
Oh my God, JSA is so good.
Like I can't wrap my head, like I love Batman, but I can't for some reason wrap my head around a guy named Catman. It just like doesn't
His
compute.
Name's not Catman. It's Isn't Wildcat. It? You're thinking of Secret Six, you jerk.
Either way, it doesn't work. But John, it's been a pleasure talking to the hit maker himself. I wish you the best of luck with the book. We did. We wish you the best of luck with the Fall of Cybertron.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Call me LL Space J.
LL Space J, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.